Yogi, by the rectifying process, Hema, gold, Eva, light, Divarana, inferior quality, Havajishyanti, will purify Sarva, saintly persons, Nivarya Adhidhi, by practice of freedom from animosity, etc. Atmanam, the self, yat, whose, shilam, character, anivartitam, to follow in the footsteps. Translation, in order to follow in his footsteps, sainted persons will try to emulate his character by practicing freedom from animosity, just as the purifying processes rectify gold of inferior quality. Here we'll have to start from the text that you're speaking about, Prahlad Maharaj, text 43. Translation, a person who is condemned by a brahmana or is always fearful to other living entities is not favored either by those who are already in hell or by those in the species which he is born. A practical example of a condemned species of life is the dog. Dogs are so condemned that they never show any sympathy to their contemporaries. Text 44-45, the learned Kashyapa said, because of your lamentation, he's speaking to Diti, his wife, because of your lamentation, penitence and proper deliberation, and also because of your unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your adoration for Lord Shiva and me, one of the sons, Prahlad, of your son, Hiranyakashipu, will be an approved devotee of the Lord, and his fame will be broadcast equally with that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 46. In order to follow in his footsteps, saintly persons will try to emulate his character by practicing freedom from animosity, just as a purifying processes rectify gold of inferior quality. Prabhupada's language is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yoga practice, the process of purifying one's existential identity, is based mainly on self-control. Without self-control, one cannot practice freedom from animosity. In the conditioned state, every living being is envious of another living being. But in the liberated state, there is an absence of animosity. Prahlad Maharaj was tortured by his father in so many ways. Yet, after the death of his father, he prayed for his father's liberation by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He did not ask any benediction that he might have asked, but he prayed that his atheistic father might be liberated. He never cursed any of the persons who engaged in torturing him at the instigation of his father. And the purport. Come again, Antaranda Shagya, Svatana, Sakshuri, Nirvana, Krishna, Shri, Nirvana, Mom, Shandaya, Krishna, Pishaya, Vipare, Bhakti, Vidana, Swami, Kriti, Namne, Namaste, Saraswati, Guru, Gauravani, Pachaya, Ne, Nevishesh, Krishna, Vahe, Krishna, Jai, Shri, Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nitanya, Shri, Vaita, Vrata, Shri, Vaita, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translations again. A person is condemned by a brahmana or is always fearful to other living entities is not favored either by those who are already in hell or those in the species in which he is born. The learned Kshatriya said, because of your lamentation, patience and proper deliberation, penitence and proper deliberation, And also because of your unflinching in faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and your adoration of Lord Shiva and me, one of the sons of your son will be an approved devotee of the Lord, and his fame will be broadcast equally with that of the Personality of Godhead. Her son will be Prahlad, and his son, her son will be Hiranyakashipu, and his son will be Prahlad. In order to follow in his footsteps, saintly persons will try to emulate his character by practicing freedom from animosity, just as the purifying processes rectify gold of inferior quality. Here we see in this chapter that because of the mistake made by the wife of Kshatriya, there will be a great calamity will take place. These are great people, yeah? And there's a great history to be commenced, so therefore there is a great calamity in the Lord's will. And she'll give birth to Ranacha and Ranakashipu. But here he said, Prasadi said, because of her lamentation, she was very sorry afterwards. She approached him in a submissive way and begged forgiveness. She was very fearful that she made an error at that time. But then she heard that her son would be a demon, but he will be killed by the Personality of Godhead. She was very pleased that that's good, because actually someone killed by the Personality of Godhead, because that is for their benefit. Everything the Lord does is for the benefit of the living entities, especially directly, personally. Killing has a very great benefit. But here, as he said, a person who is condemned by a Brahmana is in a very vulnerable condition. Prabhupada compares it to the dogs who are not, who are so condemned that they don't show any sympathy even to their own, even to other dogs. If anyone who comes near does not. Well, even to their own offspring, or even to their own offspring or their own mate. You see that they will fight over the food, they will even attack their own children or their own wife. They treat the dog as a first he will eat. If the others come together, the dog will go for them. They can handle it. Street dogs, my dog. So, so because of that, and because of your unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your devotion to Lord Shiva and me, so those good qualities, and as a result, by the Lord's will, there will also be something very wonderful happen, that your son, although your grandson will be very famous, your sons will be infamous, but your grandson will be very famous. And people will try to follow his character for thousands and thousands of years later, that people will still be talking about his qualities and trying to follow in his footsteps, just like us. I mean, this happened in Satyayuga, right? So even now we're glorifying Prahlad and his qualities and trying to follow in his footsteps. Prahlad is one Mahajan, so what is spoken by Kshatriya has come to pass. There is evidence here. So this is the quality of Prahlad. Somebody's enjoying. The quality of this is one of the great qualities of Prahlad, was his his great forbearance, tolerance, and his great his saintly behavior, that he was completely indifferent to worldly affairs, inasmuch as he was a great saint, great self-realized soul, and he was on the platform that we hear about of the equality, who sees everyone with equal vision, transcendental vision, seeing everyone as the eternal servant of Krishna, is not distinguishing between friend and enemy. In the teachings of Prahlad, in the 7th canto, when Hiranyakashipu speaks to Prahlad, "My dear son," speaking to him with great affection, "what is the best thing you have learned from the school?" Prahlad says, "My dear demoniac father, king of the demons, the best thing I have learned is," he goes on to say, "devotional service to the Lord is the greatest thing. That the material life is full of anxieties, full of dualities, because as soon as one identifies with the body, then you begin to think in mind, and good and bad." But then Hiranyakashipu became very angry. "Why have you, who has polluted you? How have you said these things? Your enemies have crept into the camp. Maybe those Vaishnavas have come and spoken to you. How is this?" So naturally, in the material sense, that if someone who kills your brother, Vishnu killed Hiranyaksha, naturally all of the family is going to be inimical towards that person. That is natural in the material world. But now he says, "You're glorifying your enemies. You're glorifying our enemies, who has killed your uncle, and you're glorifying him." So there are many chapters in concerning Prahlad's prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya used to enjoy hearing those chapters. That he used to have this chapter especially read to him, and hear it again and again and again. So much instructions from the living entities there. But as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equally disposed to everyone, so he's the pure devotees, the self-realized saints, so equal to everyone. But specifically, only the actual devotees of the Lord can be really selfless. No matter how many good qualities one develops, if one is not a devotee of the Lord, they're not really too much value. But instead, a devotee of the Lord, even if he comes from a family of dog eaters and doesn't have so many good qualities, that is actually better situated. But I was thinking of the welfare of others, even when Nrisimhadev asked him for benediction, he was so realized for love that he wasn't really even fazed when his father was ripped apart in front of him. So he's glorifying Nrisimhadev. This is a very wonderful thing you've done, because this person was such a terror to the disturbance to the universe. You finished him off. This is rightly done. But I think you're doing that just for the sake of your devotees. So he's not, he's completely transcendental to the bodily platform. He's my father, my relation. And then out of his devotee sentiment, pray for all the other living and pray for his father that he may be delivered. He said, "I don't care, for my own. I accept what's coming as happiness and distresses. I accept that as due to my past deeds." He said, "But I'm not concerned about that. I'm simply concerned about the fools and rascals here. Out of love, I've been concerned for them. So, then as the Lord is not subject to, honor and dishonor, praise and infamy like we are. We like it to be praised, and we're very disturbed when someone says something bad about us. But it's all only happens because of the. From this bodily conception of life, when we're identifying with the body, then all of these other conceptions that go with it are there. The body becomes important because we think we are the body. And so also this the position of the body, the stature of the body, the reputation of the body becomes very important. So therefore we disturb when we get a bad thing happens, and we're elated when a good thing happens. But it is all relative, not that the devotees don't experience happiness and distress also, but not on the material platform. They see everything in relation with Krishna, everyone is serving the Lord. There is an actual oneness or equality that pure devotee's vision is that everyone is servant of Krishna. So in that way everyone is a friend, that we are servant. But actually there's no friend and no enemy, because if you say friend, it automatically implies enemy. There's no enemy, there's no such thing as friend. So the vision is that everyone is eternal servant of Krishna, he bears with what Nitya Krishna does. That's natural. So that's actually equality, because that everyone is doing. In the spiritual world, that is equality there. The equality there. There's no higher or lower in the spiritual world. There's no friends and enemies in that respect in the spiritual world. There's no enemies. So how can there be any friends if there's no enemies? Because there's always those terms of relative. But still, everyone is a friend because everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing. Everyone's engaged in the service of the Lord. So that's how they see all of the living entities, and everyone is serving the Lord according to their capacity. For some of them that they don't have capacity, they're serving the Lord's will. They may not be directly, they're serving the Lord's will in lower species of life, lower species of life in human beings. Or animals or plants, but they're, because of their indifference to the Lord, then they have to walk that indifference off. Or if they're very demoniac, Krishna says, I throw them into demoniac species of life, lower species of life, where they suffer terribly. But that's the rule. Not that Krishna is inimical towards those people, but they're inimical towards him. Krishna has nothing to lose, he has no material identification. So how can it affect him? Is good and bad affect Krishna? Can't affect him at all, he has nothing to do with this material world. Not a we, but we are, the Maya is that we are part of this material world, so therefore these things become important. But Krishna knows he's not part of the material world. His part is going on under his direction, that's all. It's an illusion, a real illusion, as far as we're concerned. It's the reality, but it's Krishna's created that illusion. It's going on under his direction. So it's like you want to make a film, or you make an animation, so you're expert at that. So you just think of a story, and it's just a fantasy in your mind, and you put it, you make a nice animation, and then people watch it and they become really absorbed, and it affects them. But for you, it has no meaning outside of your, no real substance outside of your, just a creation of your fancy. The material world is like that. For Krishna, as far as Krishna's concerned, it has a purpose, of course, that is to rectify the, or to give the conditioned souls an opportunity to enact their desires, which they can't do in the spiritual world. That is to be independent of him. But like the demoniac, really demoniac people, we read about, who are really angry with Krishna, then he kills, but he kills that's their benefit. They feel personally like Krishna, then they attain liberation. But otherwise, if he just throws them down and see, the thing is that they're so, one should engage in favorable devotional service to Krishna. This is how it works. This is a rule of the material world. If one is unfavorable to Krishna, then it's not good either for that person who is blaspheming or criticizing the Lord, nor for anyone who hears it. So to save them from destruction and others from destruction, then the Lord puts them in a body where they can't. They can't blaspheme him anymore. So then he puts them in a lower species, like an animal or insect. And there's no envy there, there's no concept of just eating, sticking, making, defending, nothing beyond that. There's no rationale in the intelligence is not developed enough. So they simply go there, they stay quiet for so many words, they don't disturb anyone. and that purifies them, that existence in those lower bodies purifies them of their simple reactions. And then they come back and start again with a clean slate. I mean, they're fortunate enough to be killed by Krishna, they can get immediately liberated. But otherwise, that's a process. So it's not that Krishna is inimical towards them. It's for their benefit. If they stay inimical, then they'll suffer even more. Like when if a person is critical in the association of devotees, and we find they're really critical, we find that they're not around for very long. Right? They're really critical people, you don't after a few years they've gone. It's the same thing, Krishna takes somebody, he manifests material desires in their heart, and then that comes up, so they become agitated in the society of devotees, because there's no chance to execute the gross sense gratification. And then Krishna gives them a reason why things aren't right here, who we can blame, what's going wrong, and then they'll leave. So that's how Krishna gets moved them from contaminating the other devotees, and he removes them to protect them from making more Vaishnava parads by making material desires arise in their heart. This way then they have to go away and they're safe from Vaishnava parad, direct Vaishnava parad. That is how Krishna does it in here. So, and the same thing for him, for the others, and he just puts them in demoniac species, removes them from the association of devotees, removes them from the association of innocent human beings, so they can't corrupt the other human beings who are here. The prime purpose of life is the whole purpose of material creation is to correct our mentality and become favorable towards God again. So if people are against that, then Krishna removes them from the human society, removes them from the picture. And the devotee has the same vision, because he's engaged in service with Krishna, not concerned for his own happiness or distress. But he's concerned for the other's happiness, because he sees that everyone's suffering in the material world, nothing's going on in the material world, just chewing the chew. So he feels distressed for that they should be serving Krishna directly, not indirectly. They can, it's much better if they know what this material world is, and they can eat, sleep, make, defend in a way that's favorable for serving Krishna, because they're going to do it anyway. And this way they'll be delivered, they'll go back to Krishna, and they'll be properly situated again. But this is the vision of the pure devotees, and this is the vision of the Lord also. They say they're equal, there's no... so then all those qualities like tolerance, truthfulness, because there's no reason for these. They're naturally honest people because they're living on the spiritual platform. There's no reason for them to make a show of pretending to them because they're not trying to prove anything other than that they're really a trying to serve the Krishna. This is the last, this is my only identity. I'm your servant. Whatever else, whatever condition I'm in, whatever title I've got, my actual identity is I'm your servant, nothing else. And however I can serve you, then that's fine. So there is equality again for everyone in that aspect, because everyone can serve Krishna according to one's intelligence, according to one's degree of intelligence and ability. That's all. It doesn't not that one has to change their position. So therefore, all these processes of purification, different processes that are given, then what is the actual point of them? When one can engage in whatever condition one is already situated, one can engage in service of the Lord, then that is actual safety. And why should one endeavor for all this to become perfect? Control the senses, control the mind, follow all the perfect behavior according to the Vedas, develop all those great qualities of the perfect person. That is, the point is that they're useful, they're helpful, but otherwise they shouldn't be the main focus. The main focus should be to serve Krishna. Of course, those qualities will automatically develop. It may take some time, but trying to develop those qualities separately it shouldn't be the main endeavor. The main endeavor should be to serve Krishna right now, in any circumstance. So then there's actually equality. Oh, and when we forget this, then the body becomes important, and then all of these other dualities, they become important for us. Friendship and enemies and happiness and distress. Praise and chastisement. we really feel for those things because they really affect us. So that is why here Shakya is saying that in order to follow his footsteps of your grandson, even saintly persons were trying to emulate his character by practicing freedom from animosity. Just as the purifying process to rectify gold of inferior quality, gold of alloy. So that quality of not envious to anyone else, to be equal to everyone. It's only when your envy comes from fear, more or less. So if we're envious of somebody, we hate somebody, it's coming from some fear. There's something lacking in us. We're not properly situated in Krishna consciousness. Or if we feel great honor when we're respected, or great distress when we're chastised, something wrong. It shouldn't be there. This is the perfect stage. Why we should just be serving Krishna together, happily serving Krishna in any way. And we have to tolerate the senses, the demands of the senses due to our conditional nature. We have these addictions, and they take some time to go away. So we should be satisfied with that, and trying to see that everyone is actually in the same position. We all want to serve Krishna. We come here for a single cause, to serve Krishna. And we agree to follow the process according to the one given by an acharya. And life should just go on. there shouldn't be any animosity to anyone else, envy or fault finding, or that we're all coming from the conditional platform, and we'll have these four defects, and so we shouldn't be ready to judge others so quickly, as I mentioned the other day, that the Prabhupada said the rules are to follow, not to judge others by. So we're following in the footsteps of, we're trying to follow in the footsteps of Prahlad, another great devotee like him, and Haridas Thakur, who was beaten ruthlessly in 22 marketplaces, but he wasn't affected. He was thinking, "Oh Krishna, please don't let these people suffer from my behalf. I'm such a worthless person anyway, that I shouldn't be the cause of anyone suffering in this place. So please, if they please don't let them suffer from my behalf." In other words, we'd be thinking, you know, God, kill these guys, get them off. But he's saying, please don't let them suffer on my behalf. Well, Krishna didn't really listen to that, but going to the Chaitanya-Namrita, those guards who were with him were destroyed, the whole family. So devotee will forgive, devotee will won't hold it, but Krishna can't tolerate the insult against his devotees. So in the case of Ranikashipu, this was a slightly different flavor, that they had to take three birds as demons to give Krishna a good fight. So then Krishna personally liberated him with his fingernails as Narasimha. But it's what it means by all these different practices are there for self-control. Self-control means to engage your senses and mind in the service of the Lord. That is actually sense control or self-purification. And compassion for the other living entities, that they should all be actually engaged. You feel sorry that someone is not engaged in the service of the Lord. And without being a devotee, there can't be any real compassion. Even one may have so many qualities, without being a devotee of Krishna, there can't be any. What is his base? What is his basis of compassion? Sentiment. If I wouldn't like to suffer like that, then I would suffer like that, so I would be horribly upset, so therefore I should try to alleviate their suffering. But it's still based on its bodily conception. Even the acts of, you know, the charity and compassion is still based on the bodily conception. So it's still a self-interest there. So one can, the genuine compassion is not possible for, until one is actually a devotee. Because they're suffering because they're not serving Krishna. They're suffering because they're not engaged in the actual Sanatana Dharma. That's the actual cause of suffering. So you may divert or minimize the cause of suffering, but it won't really help them, not for long. So only when one can actually be situated back in the actual eternal occupation in serving the Lord, then that's compassion. Otherwise, where is the compassion in this material world? If it doesn't do any good, it's just sentiment. So only the devotees of the Lord can have the real compassion, real quality, and really help somebody. And we see this in Prahlad to the fullest extent, and other great devotees of his caliber. Therefore he has become Mahajani is a leader for us. We follow his advice. We follow in his footsteps. So we can thank Vicky for her misbehavior that we have to laugh in one sense. Anyway, this is the pastime of the Lord. It says no matter what, this is just a way. You have to have some interaction, some rasa in this world, you know, to mold our lives, we have to have some subject matter. So then Krishna, this is the best subject matter. What Krishna does is the best subject matter. Whatever idea he has and how to punish things about, that's the best subject matter to hear. But you won't improve on that subject matter because it's coming from Krishna's arrangement for these pastimes. So this is all we have to do. That's what it means to become a devotee, become attached to, become absorbed in Krishna's life, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's anything connected with Krishna. That becomes our life. And we're doing the same thing. We're talking, we're interacting, we're eating, sleeping, maybe defending, but all around this subject matter. And by doing that, we're getting purified automatically, unknowingly, we're becoming purified, knowing or unknowing. We're just becoming purified like that, because it's all connected with Krishna. So this is the simple, sublime process of devotional service. So we shouldn't stay outside of this area, which is a huge area, so much subject matter, and so much activity. There's no dearth of such space here that it can accommodate anyone's mentality, anyone's nature. And try to encourage other people to come in this circle, Christian circle. That is our mission. Our mission of compassion of other beings is to try to get them attached into this circle also. And this is the best way to evoke the mercy of the Lord, which we're actually waiting for. Otherwise, we don't feel any different. We just feel like conditioned souls chanting Hare Krishna here in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Mangalayati, Gauri Diva, and studying the rules, performing our devotional service, taking prasadam. We don't feel any much different from anyone else outside, is it? We feel safe, we feel satisfied that we actually know the truth. We're convinced that there's nothing outside of us. We're not looking anywhere else for the subtle search for life or anything like that. That's already there, that's fixed up. But in the meantime, we don't feel much different, though we supposedly got the answer to the truth. We go back to Godhead, and this is the topmost thing. We don't actually feel much different. The mind is still going in there, and see as they're coming and going, just like they were before. So that's superficial. This life is very short. So you just have to go through this, tolerate this, whatever it is, whatever we're going through, to tolerate that. Just stay within that circle. Keep your attachments on your everything within this framework. That's all you have to do. That's all you can do, in fact, speaking. All you can do. And you can pray for the mercy of the Lord and the devotees. But the shortcuts are that one of the shortcuts is this compassion rather than living entities. This is what Krishna actually wants. He wants everyone to get hooked up, connected here. So if we can help get connected, then get anyone else connected, then that is then that was satisfied all day, didn't it? And if you've done a little service, you don't need to worry about it. There's no tests. There's no going to Yamaraj and weighing up and all. It's nothing like that. You've done a little service, my dear. But it's that simple, actually. As long as you just have to stay in that, and try your best. Act according to your complicity and your intelligence. What else can we do? Everyone is different. Everyone is on different mentalities, different levels, different natures. But that doesn't matter. Although we're coming from such diverse backgrounds, but still we're all one in the sense that our thing is just to serve Krishna, and we should work as properly as possible. Of course, if you've got two different natures, you're not going to work very well together then. Okay, you go, will you work to that persons or persons that you work with? Well, it's going to be there, it's not that, you know, everyone's the same, you know. No, it's not like that. We're just carrying on going through the thing. Whatever's favourable, whatever situation is favourable, that's the best situation to put yourself in, if it's possible. If it's possible. But in any case, it won't be, you're not going to find it, you're not going to be completely smooth like that. Because it's a question of consciousness, it's a question of self-realisation and self-realisation. All the rest is superficial, you can tell that it's. So you actually achieve that platform, it's all superficial. You're getting involved in all these things, they're all unnecessary. But when you actually establish your relationship with Krishna, or become self-realised, then you're being different to everything else, like Prahlad. But until that platform, then there's obviously going to be a difference. So then we'll choose our association, choose our service, choose this like that. So it's still, even though we don't feel that we're liberated, obviously you are liberated imperceptibly, we don't feel it. Still, that's not we shouldn't make a big thing out of, you know, I've got to become self-realized, I've got to become perfect. That's not the purpose of Krishna consciousness. The purpose of Krishna consciousness is to serve Krishna. That's all. Under any condition. And there's no material impediments. There's no time that you can't serve Krishna. There's no reason, material reason, that you can't serve Krishna in one way or another. So that's the oneness that we just get into that consciousness and just work together. And okay, we rub a few shoulders or knock a few elbows or turn on someone. That's naturally expected. That shouldn't be a big thing. And carry on. So. And then everyone goes back to God. This is the sublime mystery of devotional service to Krishna, because Krishna is controlling everything, it's all his arrangement. So just what someone is connected, that's enough. If it is, let's go back to Krishna service. The others, if you've still got something to work out, but still, if you've got a little service, that's all forgotten. So that day of judgment, don't worry about that. If you've done a little service to Krishna's devotees, pure devotee, or to someone who's serving his pure devotee, or someone who's serving the servant of his pure devotee, that's enough. That's kind of a Muslim, he's making the clothes for Sri Vastakur. Krishna shows his form, is the divine form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maybe there, right? I don't know, probably wasn't very difficult, he was getting his money from the devotees. But in any case, he wouldn't say he was a devotee of Krishna, but that service, he was accepted. And Lord Chaitanya, even the animals in your house, the animals will also get my mercy, because they're serving in your house. So we consider ourselves like that, and a little bit about the animals, so we've got a lot of rough edges. But don't think that all the animals from different parts of the world, it's kind of like Noah's Ark. We're going to, everything's going to be peaceful and smooth. There's going to be some turbulences, don't it's a material world. But that's, don't make an issue out of it, and don't make those things a focus. They should be, okay, practice service, Hare Krishna, come to help us. This is the real thing. But if we sidestep the real issue of serving Krishna for calling in other devotees, then the movement will go much faster. But if we focus on these things, what will happen? Devotees will get despondent, people from outside will say what's going on in this place. So you don't hang out with dirty laundry. Don't hang out on it. You keep those ones inside. Get torn laundry, whatever. And as we see that he writes it thousands of years later, we're still honoring Allah, whereas all these other so-called humanitarians and great people, you don't hear of them anymore after a couple of hundred years. Really great people now. Mahatma Gandhi and a few others. But they're only a few hundred years old. You don't hear any past that. But here we are, just thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. We're still reading about Shandi and following in their footsteps of these great devotees. So Bhagavatam ki jai, Gopala ki jai, Gopinam ji.